back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively out here at State Fair. I would hold up the holiday cash drops, but I'm out of them. I do have a handful of Ravens scratch-offs still left. We're giving these away here into 2023. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Jeff Brandis has missed out on the Crab Cake. I had the Crab Benedict here with Ron Cassie in the first segment because we did a morning segment out here. Get on out to Catonsville, the music capital of Baltimore. Beaumont, El Guapo, right here at State Fair. They're even doing some pit beef up the street now. I was hoping to get Evan out. We'll get Evan in a future date. I owe El Guapo one, but I owe this guy one. Jeff Brandis is here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, and for a very limited time, you get a better deal than they gave me. I thought I had the friends and family deal, but 5 years, 0% financing, 866-90-NATION. It is Window Nation. We appreciate them for the sponsorship. They're both annual. They're here all year. We're going to be at Drug City on March 3rd. We're going to be at Fadley's March 8th. I'm figuring out February. I'm figuring out the Super Bowl. One thing I don't have to figure out is old friends. I don't know. I'm thinking you were a listener to my radio show. Is that correct? Okay.
Absolutely.
I don't. 1995, this miracle happened in the parking lot D. The Ravens were born. I left my brother up at our apartment, Silver Spring Station. I went down to the stadium. Peter King's down there, Paris Glendening, the mug, all of that. And I originally put in for 8 PSLs because I figured PSL is going to be the hottest thing ever. Because Roy Summeroff and those guys told me, they're like, hey, these PSLs is going to be something. And I always called them a poor sucker's license. I think you remember that. I coined that. Personal seat license, poor sucker's license. And I bought 8 of them originally, and whatever the deposits were. So it was $4,000, $500 a PSL. So I wrote a $4,000 check that put the down payment down. I only bought 4 of them. I didn't buy 8. I only bought 4 because a couple of friends bought the other ones. And I guess this is where you could come in, because I don't even know the story. I wanted to have you on because you do this incredible life training and mental acuity and positivity, you know, in a lot of ways in the athlete mindset, the thing you do. But I've never had you on the show. We've sat together in Section 513 till Chad Steele threw me out unceremoniously this year. So, how are you? I love you. Dad, your family.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Man, it's good to see you.
You don't know how special it is. And, you know, when someone thinks enough of you to bring you into their work world and to shout it out to the world, you know, I live in gratitude, right?
No,
I live in gratitude. You live in gratitude.
I do.
You know,
I really do.
And
some days it's harder than others.
Yes. But, you know, I have a saying. Funny that you say that, because every day is a good day. Some days are just better than others.
Right on.
You know, so when everybody asks me, how you doing today? I go, outstanding. Try doing that. Say extraordinary, and you'll lift someone else up because they'll be so shocked you just didn't give them the casual, I'm okay.
Yeah, I try to be the life of the party and the extrovert some days, you know? And the plague's changed a lot of things for distance and hugging. I mean, I hugged Marty Bass here about an hour ago, and Marty and I are, you know, good friends. I don't hug many people. I haven't hugged you. I didn't hug Ron. I don't know that I've hugged anybody in a couple days before Marty. I'm trying to think of the last person I hugged. It would be days and days of my wife, but other than that, I'm like out.
Out and about, yeah.
Like, because handshakes, and there is a difference with intimacy now, right? And a difference with affection and showing emotion and all of those kinds of things. But, like, the world's changed a little bit the last couple of years. Even online coaching. You used to have to, you know, Dr. Melfi was right here. You had to be in the room to do coaching, right?
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of years, and you have to be extra careful, too, you know, with what, you know, Jen's been going through or has gone through, and you want to be clean as possible.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take care of yourself, and you don't want to...
I was always a fist bumper.
Yeah.
I learned that from Cal Ripken, because Cal wasn't a big handshaker because he didn't want to get sick either. You know, Cal famously, right, like, would, you know, sign things and whatever, but
he would give a fist bump.
Shaking hands isn't the cleanest cultural thing we do. Right, in most cases.
Easy to understand that. You know, we don't know. You don't know who's touching what and where they've been and what's going on. So
well,
that's crazy enough
thing.
In itself.
Change space for all of us. Tell everybody what you do. Because you're a coach, right?
Yes, I am the athlete mindset coach. That's my persona.
Okay.
But prior to being the athlete mindset coach, ironically here enough, in February, it'll be my 36th year as a strength and conditioning coach. So by trade, I'm a certified strength and conditioning coach with the National Strength and Conditioning Association. So credentials like the strength coach of most NFL teams, collegiate teams, so forth, they should have a CSCS behind their name. Pretty prestigious, I'm proud to say, credentials.
Sure.
You know, it's not your everyday run-of-the-mill personal training credentials, that kind of thing. Because I knew way back when I just wanted to be around and work with athletes. So.
Well, philosophically, man, yeah. I'm sponsored by Planet Fitness. I am famously yogic. You know, I did yoga last night, hot yoga. I have a back issue, an L4, L5 issue. So, you know, part of the... part of being a 54-year-old guy at this point, all these apps show up. My phone knows I work out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm getting, you know, all the, this is how to do a push-up and, like, all, things I already know. But so much of my background as a kid in Dundalk, and I would speak to the Planet Fitness folks about this as well, wasn't lifting weights, got to lift weights, got to lift weights, got to, you know, like Nautilus, treadmill, you know, Stairstepper, Stairmaster, all of those sort of terms of endearment of the 80s.
Yeah, they're throwback terms now.
You know, we're looking like the Charles Atlas, or looking like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, or looking like superstar Billy Graham, you know? And then the whole steroid thing as to what, like, what's realistic without enhancement versus what would make you look like Barry Bonds where your forehead grows, or Sammy Sosa where maybe even your race changes. Who knows, right? But in the case of what people come to you, I shouldn't say typical, but what do you do? What's a modern coach in the way you do it?
So a big bulk of my work that I do now is I'm the head strength coach of the York Ice Hockey Club. So I love ice hockey, and I got involved with that years ago with our friend Tom Kapp.
Nice.
You know, and he got me, it was 2016, it got me involved over at the York Ice Arena, and I've met some really good people at the head. At the time there, the hockey director was Matt Doyle. Matt's a young guy in the field of coaching and strength and conditioning, and we just hooked up, developed a rapport second to none. We kind of have a protege-mentor relationship with me to him, and he's a young guy, and we just clicked. So 2016, I came on board, running the strength program over there. Now, they have teams. It's all youth hockey. It's from 8U to 19U. So it's a little bit over maybe a dozen teams that I coordinate the strength conditioning
program. The good old hockey game is the best game you can name.
I tell you, people.
And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
It's unbelievable. I almost wish, you know, in my next life, I will be playing ice hockey. That's all I know. That's how much I've fallen in love with it.
Yeah. You know? So you were never a hockey guy back in the days of the Skipjacks and the Clippers?
My uncle worked and did some work down with the Clippers, and big Clippers fan. So I remember going to the Baltimore Arena, or of course the Civic Center then, and seeing
the
Clippers.
Well, that's my start, right? I mean, when is February the 8th? What day of the week is that? So at some point, there is a chance I'm going to be at the Super Bowl that week. That's another story. It's Wednesday of Super Bowl week is the 8th. That will be the 20th anniversary of the night I met my wife.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Nice.
And I met her at an American Hockey League game, the Manchester Monarchs of the American Hockey League, affiliate of the Los Angeles Kings at the time, coached then by the great Bruce Boudreau, who was just unceremoniously bruced out of Vancouver last week as well. So, yeah, hockey, first press pass I ever had was at the Baltimore Civic Center for a Baltimore Skipjacks game, and Barry Trotz still in my life. Gene Ubriaco and I had lunch over at the Beaumont about 6 months ago. Gino was in town from Chicago. He's still doing great. So hockey's a bloodline. I mean, Trotzy and I, the Stanley Cup 5 years. I mean, come on.
How special is that?
It's just, I haven't been to a hockey game since. I've told that story on the air. I dropped the mic when I walked out, and I said, I'm good. I'm good for a while with hockey.
You know,
I miss it to some degree, but I don't miss it so much that, like, I feel like driving down and seeing the Caps play Tuesday. Huh. You know what I mean? I've just done it so many times in my life. I don't, you know, it's not, I sort of feel that way about the Ravens throwing me out. I sort of feel like at this point, if they don't want me there, then I'm not meant to be there. I meant to be somewhere else doing some other thing that in the end will probably be more beneficial. The Orioles throwing me out in 2006, it's still wrong. It's still, but I've done a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah.
Differently in the way I've walked my life because I haven't been at the ballpark 38 times a summer, right? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I just found other things to do, like see Stevie Wonder or see Gwen Stefani or go to a show. So there's a time and place for everything, right? You know?
I believe also you wouldn't have to necessarily give up those passions, right? I think we have to have balance and have multiple passions in our life, right? We don't always have to be put in a box, right? So even though you had some hardships with these our professional teams here, you know, you could it could still be okay to still be in love with the Caps and still be in love with the Ravens
listen,
and the Orioles.
Man, it's not even, it's just I'm 54. I have X amount of hours left on Earth. Mm. What do I need to do it the way I did it the first 54 years? Mm. It doesn't feel the same as getting in the car and going down to the Capitol Center with Phil Jackman. I don't pine away and say those were better days and you shouldn't go see Ovechkin or my Brooks Robinson and Jim Palmer are better than your Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman. Mm. If you're into it, go and enjoy it. Enjoy it for what it is. But I've just moved to a different place yeah. where I can have you on my show without us having to talk about what's going to happen to Lamar Jackson. Although we're going to talk about what's going to happen to Lamar Jackson. Jeff Brandis is here. He's the athlete mindset. He is a you're a business coach. Tell me, everybody, what you do.
So I work with athletes.
Right.
I work with coaches. I work with parents. I work with teams. Right.
Anybody you don't work with? You don't work with animals. No.
No, but I love animals, by the way. A player or a parent will reach out to me. They see all the content that I put out on all the social media, and they'll say, you know, my boy's having trouble. He's playing 14U baseball. You know, he's struggling. He has poor self-talk. You know, he can't get himself out of a rut. You know, I think you can help me. I've seen your content. You know, can we have a chat? So what I'll normally do is then say our first step is we have what I like to call an athlete mindset prep session. We're all Zoom with people if they're calling around the country, or I've had some inquiries internationally, so it's pretty phenomenal. Pretty
well, that
neat
would
thing
be
to
the
do,
pandemic
right?
Pandemic would say, mm-hmm. we'll do this on Zoom, right?
Mm-hmm. That's where it really started taking off on Zoom and even becoming more convenient to schedule appointments and do those kind of things.
That's allowed you to scale your business, right?
100%.
Perfect.
It's been phenomenal. And so then we'll meet, and then I have a whole agenda, kind of a getting-to-know-you session where I find out what they're struggling with, I find out where their strengths are, what they're good at, what their passions are, and then I just go down through a list of bullet point questions and let them do all the talking. I want to do all the writing, and I want to soak up what they have to give me, and then I have an information sheet that I'll send them. I'll say, these are my three private one-on-one programs. I want you to take a look at it, whatever you resonate with, whatever you think's best for you, let's go in that direction. If you want my feedback, I'll give you my opinion, and it'll be an honest opinion of what program I think your child can handle and what's appropriate for them, you know, and then we'll go one-on-one, you know. It'll be a 3-week program, it'll be a 6-week program, or it's a 3-month program.
Okay.
So it's not too overwhelming, and we just start from there and go from there. Now, if they're local, what I did in the past I would have my strength and conditioning services privately. Or to groups, that kind of thing. Unless I was hooked up with a team, like with York,
well,
I'm there.
Without the body,
right?
You don't get the mind, right?
It's a powerful 1-2 punch. But I've always been in love with psychology and sports psychology and motivation and inspiration and how it works and how they're connected, you know. So back in 2009, I just decided to kind of branch off with more work. I've written a couple books. I do a lot more speaking events and speaking engagements, and I just created the athlete mindset persona, the athlete mindset coach. You know, that's what I like to call myself.
What is the athlete mindset? What is that? What would that encompass? Give me a thesis on that.
All right. That would encompass passion and purpose, confidence and belief. We talk about who's in your inner circle. Are you coachable? Those kind of things. We go over the adversity and setbacks and failure and mistakes and basically I develop a set of skills that are special. They're coping mechanisms, right? How do we get forward? How do we keep moving forward? How do we deal with that negative self-talk when it happens? How do we deal with self-doubt? How do we deal with fear, anxiety, worry, doubt?
Limiting beliefs. Right. 100%. Jeff Brandis is here. We're at State Fair. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Having some deep conversations here about motivations. Our friends at the Window Nation. We have great sponsors here. We're moving into February. Super Bowl's around the corner. I'm doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in various places with friends. I'm bringing my junior high school chorus teacher and a musical director of My Fair Lady, Hollibert Junior High School presentation 1982. And we're going to be bringing him out to Drug City on March 3rd. We're going to be down to Fadley's on March 8th. I'm looking forward to catching up with Damie. Fadley's is going to be right in the parking lot right here, the new Fadley's in Catonsville.
Okay.
It's featuring Fadley's crab cake. It's going to be called the Fishmonger's Daughter is going to be the name, but it's a Fadley's property. Going to be right here in the parking lot at State Fair. And Beaumont's Cross Street, El Guapo's here, Jeff's here with me, but our background, and you mentioned Tom, and I'm glad you mentioned Tom and hockey. His boy was an incredible hockey player. Tom and I have been friends since the first day of college, 1985, at Dundalk Community College. He was my health professor, so a little background for you there. But more than that, he didn't like hockey. He was baseball, traditional football, Fran Tarkington, Greg Nettles, all of that. It is amazing that, like, you've come to hockey later in life. I mean, Tom was at least 40 years old, I think, before he really watched hockey, I would say, and then fell in love with hockey and the Colorado Avalanche and, like, all of that. That they're always – people are falling in love with this race car thing going on now, the formula, whatever this thing is, and people are – the Grand Prix thing that Tom Brady's all
– Hasn't hit me yet, but
– Well, okay, so – but I would say this for you and me and our background. We met at a football game, I think.
Yeah, I still want to get back to that story.
Yeah, well, that's why I want to circle back with you on that before I get you out of here at State Fair. Section 6, row 16, seat 1 and 2, that were my seats at Memorial Stadium, which was third base. Sort of, it would have been the 20-yard line in the old markings, but they moved the field out with the Ravens. And it was more like corner of the end zone. You sat with me. You're in those pictures. Your dad, or you know, friends. Mm-hmm. Some past. We've lost some friends along the way. 27 years later, but our passion was Baltimore football, local pride, getting our team back, doing it with our fathers. My father had passed at that point. My dad died in 92, so my dad never knew the Ravens or any of my association with the Ravens, which would really. My dad would really be pissed off at Steve Bisciotti and Chad Steele right now, by the way. So I'm
can imagine.
On behalf of my dad, because my dad always wanted to get a team back. I saw my dad cry twice in his life, the day his sister died and the day the Colts left town. So, you know what I mean? Like, I saw my dad cry when the Colts left town. So, like, I know that's the space we're coming from for people who don't have the memory we have of there was a time when there were no Ravens and when it was a miracle. And literally, that kickoff against the Raiders that day was just a miracle for the city. It really was.
So I grew up in Northwood.
Okay.
Right? So right a few streets, Shadyside Road, a couple streets below Argonne Drive, right by the Northwood Shopping Centers. So I grew up with friends in that neighborhood. I grew up with friends in Edner Gardens. So I constantly was going back and forth, spending time. We would walk to Oriole games. So growing up to the Orioles in the 70s.
Do you remember the Johnny Unitas and Brooks Robinson fire hydrants?
Yes.
I talked about that with Ron Cassie here an hour and a half ago because we were talking about the passion of the city.
Right?
Well, he did a they're doing a Trailblazers thing at Baltimore Magazine, and he had Brooks Robinson, Barbara Mikulski, Kurt Schmoke, John Waters, a bunch of leaders in a room, and we got to talking about how powerful his life has been for Baltimore and what a nice man he is. And I said the city was so moved by the two of them, they were immortalized on fire hydrants outside of Herring Run Park. And I said, somebody will remember that. Keith Melchior, Eddie Lauer grew up over there in Blair Edison, you know, that area. So I'm like, they would remember that. And you remember, good.
So as a
didn't
kid,
take me long. It took me an hour to find somebody who remembered that.
So as a kid, we would play. There was a park off Argonne Drive, right across from there was an armory there, mm-hmm. right below the Northwood baseball fields. We would play on the Northwood baseball fields off of Argonne. We would go down to Mervo as a kid and play on their soccer grass field, not on their football field.
Is that
but
like
we
a
would
have flower, pick up a little flower around a corner from there.
Little Flower, I think, was on near closer to Herring Run Park.
Okay.
I think, but we would go down to Herring Run Park and play. You know,
what was the name of your rec council? Did you guys play in the Eastwood tournament over in Joseph Lee Fields?
No, I actually...
Kids came from all over the city to play over there. I thought Northwood played in that tournament.
I actually was playing out in the county with Lock Raven Rec.
Okay, so you
know,
played,
so
okay.
I grew up with right. playing Lock with okay. their, you know, like Lock Raven Optimists and
gotcha.
Those kind of
okay.
things.
But I think Northwood did play over in the Eastwood. That's why I asked.
Because mm-hmm.
you had some memories of seeing Timmy Norris bring it up on the top hills in the Pony League. You just
yeah.
remember that from the Little League.
Yeah.
But you were baseball kid.
I was a baseball kid. That's the uniform I played in and wore the longest. You know, even though I love football and everything, my first strength coaching job was with football.
Who was your favorite Oriole?
Wow.
I was a Renicky guy.
I'm going to say Terry Crowley.
Oh, okay. You got the Crow. Okay, cool.
I remember in sixth grade doing a book report where my mom was friends. I believe his wife was Janet. And my mom worked at St. Matthew School for a while I went to St. Matthew School. And I was able to get him on the phone to do an interview in sixth grade. And he was gracious. He was might have been 15 minutes on the phone. But
the
I would
crew,
ask
you
him.
You interviewed the Crow?
I interviewed the Crow as a sixth grader.
Damn.
You know, And those things just never go away. It's so special, you know. So I grew up loving baseball. Nothing was bigger than baseball, you know.
I don't think I've ever had a baseball conversation with you, Jeff Brandis.
Never.
I don't think I have.
No, yeah.
Still watching ball?
Yeah.
Still excited?
I'm still excited, and I get to live it even through my nephew. My nephew's in the middle of, he's in his sophomore year at Lock Raven High School. He loves baseball. He's really good. He plays for Lock Raven.
Nice.
He played on the varsity as a freshman, and he can't get enough of baseball. It's YouTube, it's this, it's that. So he's kind of bringing that back. We're close.
Hey, I see it all the time. A lot in our community, lacrosse and baseball, you know, they don't intersect. It's one or the other, right? So when my last name's Aparicio, and I'm certainly not a lacrosse guy, as Jay Pivick and other friends,
Jesus.
And you know, Tony Seaman, all my lacrosse friends, the Gate guys, all those, the lacrosse people. Gory Boone, you know, they would all make fun of my Dundalkness because you're a baseball guy. You're not a lacrosse guy. And lacrosse people would say, it's hockey with sticks. Why can't you? If you like hockey, you got to like. But I was a hockey guy. I was the only hockey guy there was in the. That's why we lost three teams, dude. You know what I mean? Literally. Clippers, Skipjacks, Bandits.
Was there anybody after the Bandits?
No.
Okay.
Bandits were the last ones.
All right, that's
there were several. Well, there were the Blades as well, WHA. That was
okay.
the Gordie Howe and. Gretzky, no? Gretzky played for the Indianapolis Ice of the WHA.
Jeez.
See, I'm a hockey historian.
You can lay it all out.
You just have become like this hockey guy recently, right?
Yeah, the working with the youth has got me bleeding hockey, and I can't get enough of it. And let me tell you, you got to do it live.
Okay.
You know, I think that's huge. Now, I can watch it on TV, and I enjoy it on TV.
It's better in person.
But when you're in person,
watch
it's something else. You know?
I loved playing hockey when I played. You know, I played a lot of roller hockey. I wasn't the greatest ice skater. I didn't become an ice skater till I was older. 18, 20s, the first time I put... Because I wanted to play hockey.
Did you ever ice skate on the parking lot at Memorial Stadium with their ice rink? I grew
no,
up doing that.
I did Patterson
Park. Okay.
I was under the bubble in Patterson. That's the only place I ever really ice skated. No, I ice skated at Orchard Rink a couple times, too. But I was chasing girls then. That was different. Jeff Brandis is here. He's the Athlete's Mindset. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're at State Fair in Catesville. All right, so you wanted to tell this this Section 6 story. Memorial Stadium. You're telling baseball. Tell me how we met. I don't even know.
So, being a sports fan and what you did... You know, from the beginning or years ago on the radio, I listened to you. I was in the car a lot, traveling a lot for work. At the time, I was working for an orthopedic medical equipment company, and I was servicing.
I remember that.
I was serving
you.
In hospitals and doing home health care. Specifically, I was helping with rehabilitation with patients with total knee replacements, sometimes shoulder replacements, hip replacements, those kind of things. So we had a CPM machine, continuous passive motion, that we had a hospital unit and we had a home unit. So I would set up and do in-services to med-surg units to to educate them on how to use them in the hospital, and then I would have all the scheduling information when patients left there, that they would go home, and then I would bring a home unit to them so they could continuously move their knee. They had like a remote
control.
It's
a whole different life than what you've been doing the last 20 years.
Totally different, yeah. And it was crazy. So I'm on the road, but here's what the destiny came out to be.
Yeah.
I got to listen to Nasty Nestor.
And in all of my viscosity.
And just, you know, pure entertainment. And I hear you, and I'm coming around the bell, and you say, look, I have these tickets. You know, if you're interested, if you really think you're interested, you know, give me a call, and we'll talk about it.
Seats.
Right, for those extra
I
seats.
I had the eight tickets, right, from the beginning of the segment. And it was just me and my son. But I thought, like, one day he'd be married and want to go, and we'd had Steve Hennessy, he was my partner. We were all, like, it was a thing that we thought we would have a generation. And I'd have eight tickets, and we'd go to games. I mean, again, it was a miracle we ever got the football team. I still pinch me all these years later, books later, 28 Super Bowls later, all that later. It's a miracle that we ever got the team. It really is. Truly a miracle.
So I pull off. As soon as you say that, you'll like this. I pull off the next exit I can. I think it was around Linthicum or something. I'm coming around that part of the beltway. I pull off, and I get to a payphone. Right?
You didn't hit #1570 on your cellular one network?
Oh, my God. That brings back memories. So I get...
Star sign on your belt lamp.
I get on the payphone to call my dad. And I said, Dad, listen, we have an opportunity here. And he knew who you were.
To get in on the ground floor.
Right. We talked about you all the time. Dad knew who Nasty Nestor was. And I said...
You're going to make me blush, Jeff.
We have an opportunity here. Would you like to be a season ticket holder again? Because my dad, for 30 years, was a season ticket holder with the Baltimore Colts.
Nice.
So he goes, you know, I'm not sure, because my Uncle Wayne was just retiring for the Baltimore City Police after 40 years. And he was going to, when the team came from Cleveland, he was going to be part of the security for the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
So my dad was even, you know, I think Uncle Wayne can he'll be able to get us into some games and some, you know, and do that kind of thing. And then my initial reaction was, well, do you want to go to some of the games?
Or do you want to go to all of the games? Right.
You know, do you want to do what you did
do you love
with
football?
Your friends?
Do you right. love football?
And he goes, Jeff, he goes, whatever you decide, I'm in. I'm all in. Whatever
all
you decide.
Right.
So next thing you know, I'm calling you up right after I got off the phone with him.
I probably have a tape,
you know, and said,
I'm
coming down, or you let me know when I can come by the station. Because that was the only other time I was on the air. You put me on the air for a few minutes that day. That was, what's it, Hart Road? You had your station
Providence Road there?
I
want to be really clear in front of everybody here at State Fair and in front of my full audience. It was really not a big deal to put you on the air in the 90s. All you had to do was call in.
Well. But if you didn't tell anybody that, it was pretty special.
All you had to do was get past Ray Bachman or Andy Mueller. That's all you had to do. They were the front door. They were lousy gatekeepers. They let everybody in.
Well, so technically, I may have told this story and how I came in to get those tickets from you. So from that day, I walked out of your
place.
And
you were just Jeff that sat with me at the games. That's who you were.
That's who I was.
You and your dad.
Yeah. And that was the beginning. So the crazy thing is,
remember Ernie? We lost Ernie. And you guys called, and there were two guys from Highland Town.
Was Tom one of them?
Tom and Ernie.
Yeah, Tom and Ernie.
And they're in all my pictures from 96 and 97. And these were just listeners. You guys were just listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just sort of like I wanted to go to the games with people that wanted to go to the game. I think it's probably what I said. Probably no different at 28. Like, if you're going to go to the games with me, we're going to high five. We're going to cheer. We're going to R-A-V-E-N-S with my shirt on. That's for you out there, Dan. Real fan of Dan. That I was doing that. We led cheers. There's pictures of me leading cheers. There's no video because nobody had a video camera back then.
Crazy.
And then you'd have Jack Wagons throwing peanuts at the back of our heads from behind us. We weren't very good as a football team. Let's be honest. 96 and 97, we took our lumps, you know.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we weren't thinking about that. We were thinking, look, we have NFL back.
How much fun did we have the day that we beat the Steelers that day.
In the pouring down rain.
Carnell Lake, the whole thing. Yeah, that was a good day.
Nothing was better than that.
That was a good day.
Amazing how immediate those feelings, you know, in that first inaugural season, how it just, as soon as Pittsburgh came into the
Ray
stadium.
Ray Lewis picking that ball off in the back. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the rain. You didn't even feel the rain.
You know who hates you didn't when feel I bring it. This up? When I have Amy Trask on the show, you know who she is?
No,
Al Davis's... she kind of ran the Raiders for a long time.
Okay.
Amy Trask wrote a great book. T-R-A-S-K. She's a great follow on Twitter.
Okay.
She could be the commissioner of the NFL. I mean, she could be, right? I always bring it up with her because it was such a bad day for the Raiders. You know, they came into Baltimore, got their ass kicked. You know what I mean?
I mean, game one.
lost to Vinny and these guys in purple Barney uniforms, you know. Jeff Brandis is here. He's the Athlete Mindset. Dude, I love you. And tell everybody how to get in touch with you so I can wrap up here and get you some shrimp and grits and feed you right.
Well, I'm everywhere. Facebook, personal page, business page, Jeff Brandis, CSCS, The Athlete Mindset Coach.
The Athlete Mindset Coach.
Twitter, LinkedIn, everywhere on social media, you'll see my content. It's out every day, posting a bullet point from the Power of Mental Reps training program. That's my program. That's how I coach people up. That's how I empower the athletes, coaches, parents, and the teams that I work with. And
you don't have to be a hockey player to work with you.
Nope.
No, anybody.
Anybody. Anybody.
But if you want a new hockey friend, call Jeff. He'll go to the game with you, right? Well, you brought props.
I did. I knew we were going to talk maybe even Baltimore Colts football or talk about the beginning of the Ravens
your dad
and everything.
Being a season ticket
and my
dad for 30
being
years.
One.
My dad's being a season ticket holder.
First of all, he agreed with you when you said, look, he goes, Jeff, I never thought we would have NFL again. And the ride that he went through in those glory days was second
Super Bowl?
To none.
Yeah.
You know, no, I mean in his Baltimore Colt glory days, right? He had a chance to go with his dad to the greatest game ever played.
Really?
This is what he brought home.
Oh, look at this. Hold on. Piece of the goalpost?
This is a piece of the goalpost. And his mom wrote on this goalpost from 1958.
Look at this. See, you bring Brandis here and you get heirlooms. Look at this thing here. This is killer. Look at this.
That's legit.
My dad would always tell me that he carried Ordell Bracy off the field in the 59 game. And I would always tell Ordell that when I had Ordell on the program. But, I mean, I'm so fortunate. It's my 32nd year in sports radio. Our 25th anniversary of WNST is August 3rd. And we will be celebrating. And like all these years later, the link to the Colts, to the Ravens were a miracle in my life, still a miracle in my life.
Miracle
I miss
of mine.
You guys up in 513. Trust me. And you know this. This was not my idea. You know, we wanted to buy our tickets, go to the game. So if you have any questions for me, you can ask on the air, off the air. But I think I've been pretty straightforward in, you know, how I've been treated and how I miss going to the games. And
you've been an open book.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this about going to the games or not going to the games. You don't see the game well on TV. Mm-hmm. As a guy who has gone physically to games all of my adulthood, all of my career. I mean, I was a season ticket holder for the Eagles in Philadelphia. Not that I wish them any goodwill, because I do not. But I was a season ticket holder up there during the Buddy Ryan. So going to games, sitting in stadia, it's how I watch football.
Mm-hmm.
Monday Night Football is more of a passive, like, you don't see the secondary. If you can't see the secondary, you're not really seeing the game, especially in the modern era where they throw the football. So for me, it's not all a highlight or I don't want to watch video. I want to see it live. I want to experience it live.
It's an event being there. It's
I like
special.
Being wet. I like being cold. I like being dry. I like being hot.
The elements.
I like that discomfort of it's a 3-point game in the fourth quarter, and the fans are a part of it.
The energy, you know, is palpable.
I've been a part of that my whole life. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm moving on to other things because I've been forced out. Not by choice, but by ruthless people. You know, I don't know what else to say. You know, it's a shame that these... I mean, you saw the John Angelos interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like, that's what this is at this point. And that's unfortunate to me, which is why I would prefer to talk about the athlete mindset than to focus solely on that.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
100%. I understand.
And I want the Orioles to do well this year, and I want you to have a good time and take your kids down and come out of York, Pennsylvania, down to 83 and root them home and all that. But there comes a point. I said this to Ron Cassie earlier. They have to work at it too. They're, you know, too much is to whom much is given, much is expected.
You know? It was a relationship.
It was a community relationship, right?
I mean, it was deep.
For your father and you and me and my father and us together 27 years ago in the upper deck is Lister
I guess what I'm saying also
it's connection with people.
But with you and the Ravens, that's why it hurts so much, because it's personal. I mean, am I wrong?
Well, of course it's personal, but it's also malicious, right? And it's unprofessional and it's unnecessary. And it's mean-spirited, and it's...
I don't know how you get your mind wrapped around it.
I'm getting there, you know? I need the athlete mindset.
You need... you beat me to it.
There you go, Jeff, I love you, man.
I love
appreciate
you, Nestor. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Fair. I've already eaten, and you could be my guest for some... If I were you right now, I would get the chicken and waffles. That's what I would do. We're at State Fair. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Sometimes I put the hat on. My wife says that my hair looked really nice today and I should have let it out, but I didn't want to let it out for you. The Maryland Lottery, I have a handful of Raven scratch-offs, but we're moving on. You know, it's 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. Remember the old horseshoe, or the old wishbone?
Yeah.
The wishbone's coming back. The horseshoe is the Colts. Sorry, yes. That was that. Wishbone, not horseshoe. And it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to have scratch-offs with the wishbone on it. So
right.
John Martin has promised me that, as well as other things, including letting me backstage to the development team here. We're going to be at Drug City on the 3rd of March. We are going to be at Fadley's on the 8th of March. I have no idea where I'm going to be in February, except somewhere Bruce Springsteen is, because I need to get the hell away, because I haven't been on an airplane since September 3rd.
Wow.
Because I went to none of the... I went to Pittsburgh. You'd be at the away games all the time. So I am owed a New Orleans trip, a Tampa trip. Games we win. I want to win these games, though. The ones we lose, I want to make sure we win them. So I have all my points back, and I got to figure out what to do. So I'm going to go chase Bruce Springsteen around a little bit, see Depeche Mode, and tan up, as they say. I'm going to bronze myself at some point.
Now, would you say Bruce Springsteen is the artist that you've seen the most in concert?
Getting there. You know, I don't know. Probably. Maybe. Maybe.
Definitely a favorite.
I mean, I've seen the Smithereens a lot and the Bodines a lot over the course of like the 90s when they toured a lot, but they, you know, they haven't played as much. Bruce hasn't played in 5 years. So, but yeah, I'll be adding some Bruce to my... I'll be adding more shows in the next couple weeks.
Now,
I must say
I've seen Bruce... Kelly and I went to see Bruce one time.
Where?
At the Civic Center.
Oh, nine?
In Baltimore when he was here.
When Clarence was still alive?
Yes. And let me tell you.
Second to last show Clarence ever played.
I could probably sing along to about maybe 5 songs, but he played for 3 hours and about 20 minutes. Didn't take him taking a break, he was playing the piano, right? Phenomenal concert for somebody.
I think he played for you that night on the piano. Wow.
For,
get that set list out.
For somebody who is not a fan, obviously, like you are with Bruce, I mean, I like him, and
right.
I was grateful that we had the tickets. It was an anniversary present.
Oh, my God, and, memorable. I mean, you're still talking about it.
And still,
15 years later.
That's how impressed I was by that concert, only knowing a few songs that I could sing along to. And
got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a... I never went back. Jeff Brandis is here. He's the athlete mindset. I got to get out of here, man.
All
thank
right.
you. Let me touch that goalpost one more time for my dad. And Jeff has brought me a piece of the 58 goalpost, and this has some value.
No.
Have to authenticate it. You know where another piece of this is? Over the bar at Nacho Mama's.
Is that right?
1,000,000%. Take this down and measure the wood up. Against the wood at Nacho Mama's.
Wow.
I promise you. Get Jackie to give you a little tour down there. She'll show you, okay?
That's amazing.
My big thanks to Evan, Keith, everyone here, Kat. Everybody's been awesome to me out at State Fair today and making sure that I did not leave here without a crab benedict. They even gave me a salt and pepper shake. This is not nearly as good as the pepper shaker over at Beaumont. At Beaumont, they have a pepper The pepper grinder is about a 4-foot pepper grinder. And, you know, they get up on you and give you the pepper grindage. So I owe Marty Bass dinner since I got here. I owe Ron Cassie a baseball game. And at some point, you and I have attended a lot of football games together. So at some point, we'll go to a Hershey Bears game together.
Yes.
Maybe we do that.
I would love that.
I'll go to a Hershey Bears game with you.
That'd be super fun.
We'll take a picture with Coco.
Yeah.
Get some hot chocolate after the game. I am Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570. Taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road, all presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Goodwill. We appreciate that. Happy Super Bowling to all who are Super Bowling. We're going to have some very special programming here at WNSD next week. Stay with us.